Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, is that on? And welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville. We have a number of announcements this morning. First of all, Jane wanted me to announce that there will be no Bible study on Monday, and to check your email or Jane will call you. So no women's Bible study on Monday. Today, after church, is an ice cream social. In honor of Reverend Stillwell, beginning his sabbatical next week, church is hosting an ice cream social to send him off. Join us and enjoy the ice cream sundae bar and cake and wish Reverend Chris well on his sabbatical. There is no cost. Work day is Tuesday, June 14th from 9 to 12. And extra hands are always needed, and that is Flag Day, by the way. There's an insert in your bulletin, a little yellow, that there's going to be a baked potato salad bar on Sunday, June 26th after church. And it's a donation of $5 for either a potato or a salad bar, or $8 for both. And that benefits Vacation Bible School. So keep that in mind. Also, Father's Day breakfast is June 19th. That's next Sunday. Special invitation to fathers, grandfathers, and all other men of the church. And it says the omelet lady will be here. There's no charge for breakfast, but donations will be accepted. Are there any other announcements this morning?
Good morning. Two things I just want to follow up on. One is Vacation Bible School. You're going to hear a lot more about that as the summer comes on, but I just want you to remember it's August 8th to the 12th, so mark the calendar. And it's going to be a lot of fun because it's going to be an Olympic theme. And as you can tell, they're already doing such a great job in the Fellowship Hall as they're getting the decorations together. And tentatively, I believe every Wednesday from 4 to 6 are going to be the decorating days. So if you can, anytime, come down and help. Or if you can't make that time, talk with Melissa and she can assign you a project for decoration. But make sure you tell your friends and your neighbors and all the kids you know, August 8th to 12th is our Vacation Bible School. We have some campers, at least two I know of going today, I believe Sierra and Kelsey. Anyone else going to camp today? So the camp season begins. We want to celebrate that wonderful news. We have lots of other campers coming or going in the future this summer. Remember always, too, that you can help support sending our kids to camp by making a donation to the camp fund at any time. And just write camp on the note on your envelope or check, and that will be a great blessing. Very few things can help transform a child's life and improve their relationship with Jesus Christ than a week at camp. And we are very blessed to have a great camp and many people who help with that as well. And the last thing, I want to thank all those who helped with the rafting trip for the senior youth group. Unfortunately, we were not able to go for a couple different reasons. So what I want to say is anybody who let us borrow life jackets, if you need them back, please let me know. If not, if it's okay, I would like to leave them in the gym because Roxanne and Linda Ainsley want to try and reschedule for later in the summer. But if any time you need them, you let me know or contact Jackie at the office. They will be in the gym. Thank you.
I did have one more thing that I forgot to mention. Are you inundated with the cicadas? Well, my wife hates them. She won't even go out of the house. She hates them so bad. But one of the kids showed me that if you cup your ears like this, that it magnifies the sound like 100 times. So if it's not loud enough for you, just cup those ears. It really magnifies it. All right. Welcome to the Lord's Day. It is our great privilege and responsibility on this day to worship the risen Lord Jesus Christ. Let's spend a moment in a time of silence as we prepare our hearts and minds to worship Him. Thank you. The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our processional hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal on page 117, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. And please stand.
Father,
God's house with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Let us pray. Creative, marvelous, and living Lord, receive us the way we are. Forgive us for what we have been, and give us a glimpse of what we can become through the transforming power of the risen Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Thank you. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. We read that Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. Let us continue the ministry of Jesus by giving our tithes and offerings. Our offertory hymn is found in the Brown Hymnal, on page 341, Come Thou Almighty King, verses 1 and 2.
Purpose to bring hope to the despairing, joy to the sorrowing, encouragement to the failing, peace to the struggling, internal life to those who do not yet know as you, as Savior and Lord. Amen.
The community proclaims the word of God. Our first scripture reading is Psalm 5, verses 1 through 8. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Give heed to my groaning. Hearken to the sound of my cry, my King and my God, for to thee do I pray. O Lord, in the morning thou dost hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for thee and watch. For thou art not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil may not sojourn with thee. The boastful may not stand before thy eyes. Thou hatest all evildoers. Thou destroyest those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful men. But I, through the abundance of thy steadfast love, will enter thy house. I will worship toward thy holy temple in the fear of thee. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness, because of mine enemies. Make the way straight before me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. There is no anthem. Well, I guess there is, Ken. I guess there is an anthem. Okay. The anthem. Okay, my apologies.
Welcome to the Christian Church of Connellsville, the second Sunday of June, as we gather to worship our Lord and to give thanks for all that has happened this past week and to ask for God's help for all that is coming in our lives. As we gather together to lift up our prayers this morning, we are indeed grateful for all of the life and the joy in our church. And we do, it was nice, I visited one of our shut-in members, Lena Hogue, this week. I hadn't seen her in a while, and I was telling her of all the things that were happening, and it was nice to add them up, to tell her about 6 baptisms and 4 baby dedications and the announcement of another child coming soon, and to also celebrate all that's coming up, sabbatical as well as church camp and vacation Bible school. We are indeed a blessed congregation, and indeed a congregation that is full of life and has much to celebrate. So let us begin with our joys this morning. What is happening in your life that you would like to give thanks to God for? What do you want to celebrate? And you have to raise your hand and shout. Yes, Peggy. You got moved? Where are you at now? Where are you now? It is a great relief to be moved. Are you unpacked? That's the next step. Okay. Well, we rejoice with you on your move, and blessings on your new home. Is this the first week of camp? All right, so there we go. We have camp season beginning, and we give thanks for Camp Loreview and all the people who make it happen and give their time for that sacred place. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for being with us today. George. Come from all around. Thank you, Heidi, for bringing people to church from other states. And thank you for sharing your piano skills with us today. Jerry. So that's wonderful news for Brian, officially a chaplain, and has completed all his certifications. So we give thanks for him. And I'm glad to hear that. He's up in the Pittsburgh area, is that correct? Okay. We give thanks for Brian as a hospice chaplain, serving God to people at a time when they need him the most. Let's continue with thanksgivings and lift up also concerns, if you have any. Yes. Good news. Thank you for sharing that and the update, and we rejoice with you and your sister and that wonderful news. Nikki? Okay. We pray for Shirley Galantine and as she struggles to get a diagnosis for what is ailing her. Okay. We'll continue to pray for her and hope that she is well. And I ask continued prayers for the saga of the Stillwell family, particularly my dad, as he has gone through all the different things and for his back, and the injection didn't work, so he's ready for surgery, except that now they found that he has an irregular heartbeat. So now they're trying to work that out, and he has an appointment. I can't keep him all straight. He has an appointment with his surgeon on Monday, and then I think the heart doctor next week. So please continue to pray for my father, Ron Stillwell. Yes? Pray for Tim Nicholson, about having heart problems. Pray for him. Heidi?
We've been praying for our niece, Chelsea, 23 weeks pregnant. She hasn't had the baby so far. So the joy is that the baby's still where it's supposed to be. However, every morning they say the baby will be born, but by evening it's still where it needs to be. But it's a 1 pound, 9 ounces, and she still needs a whole lot.
I'm continuing to pray for Chelsea. 23 weeks pregnant, hoping to hold on to that pregnancy with 17-month-old twins?
7 months.
7-month twins, so obviously a very difficult situation for her. Simon. I I couldn't quite hear you, Simon. Okay. Praying for somebody with skin cancer. Okay. Are there any others? Judy? Patsy. Jerry? We continue to pray for Betty, your neighbor. She's 93. Yes, let's continue to pray for her. Pray for Don's brother battling cancer. Yes, Tony. Your dad is having his left kidney removed. So pray for Tanya's father this Wednesday as he has kidney surgery. Seeing none other, let's take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Most gracious God, we come together in these summer months to celebrate the joy of your creation and the warmth of the sun. Help us to make the most of each day as you've given us, that we may celebrate life and all that is in it. And we also know that in this time, many children are going off to camp and vacations, and we pray that they will have great, wonderful experiences that will not only be joyful, but will bring them closer to you. For as they are brought closer to your created world, may they gain a new appreciation of your power and your love. The majesty of your witness and grasp the importance of preserving the world for generations to come. We also pray for those who lead the camps and those who are role models for them, that they may continue to show our youth a vision of what it means to be a Christian and to grow closer to you as they get older. To be mature in the faith, and as they become more involved also in activities, may they experience the satisfaction that comes with serving others in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you thanks, Lord, for all that you have given us and all that you do for us. We give you thanks for the ways in which you warm our hearts, cool our tempers. Show us your love and your mercy, as well as your power and your might. From the mountains to the valleys, from the oceans and the seas and the rivers, we see all that you are capable of and how much greater you are than us. And yet, you have given us these things for our pleasure, our benefit, because of your generous love for us. May we continue to always remember you in all things and times and places, and remember our need to do your will. This world may be not only preserved, but improved as your love passes from one heart to another. And so, Lord, we pray for ourselves and we pray for others as well, all those who have been mentioned this morning. You know them all better than we even do. And you know what ails them and what hurts them, and you know what heals them. May they turn to you in their need. May they turn to you in their pain. May they turn to you in their joy. For those who are beginning new stages of their life, those who have moved, and those who are officially beginning new jobs, and those who are welcoming children, we give thanks. We rejoice and celebrate with them this wonderful news and pray that they may enjoy every moment. For those who were sick and now are well, for those who had surgery that was successful, we rejoice. In particular, we lift up Janice Berandio. We celebrate with her that after having a stroke, she is recovering and is well. We pray that she will continue to be so. And for those who are in need of more care, for Tanya's father who is losing a kidney, for Tim Nicholson whose heart isn't working right, for those who are battling cancer of all types, in particular skin cancer, for Chelsea who is continuing to hold on to her pregnancy and to bring her child to bear, for Patsy, who is battling pneumonia, and Betty, whose heart is having difficulty, for Don's brother, who's battling cancer, and for Shirley, who's battling we do not know what, we pray that they will be made well, that they will feel your healing spirit in their lives, that they may know that they are being prayed for now and united with us through prayer, and may that make all the difference in their lives. Lord, we come together as your gathered congregation, as your family, as your children in this world. Help us to continue to grow in faith, no matter how old we are, and to learn from one another and to teach one another the goodness of your mercy, the truth of your word, and the love of your spirit. These things we pray together now and forevermore. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Chance to yell in church. Good morning. You guys are still not ready for summer yet, are you? Are you guys in summer? Are you done with school? Yeah, now you're getting all excited. So for the summer, a lot of times in the summer people go on vacation. Is anyone going to the beach this summer?
No.
Yeah? Yeah? Do you like going to the beach?
No.
Okay. Is it not just the beach. Are you going to another city? Are you going on a trip? Are you going camping? Whenever you're going somewhere, you like going there, right? You're looking forward to getting to where you're going. So if you're going to an amusement park, if you're going to the beach, if you're going camping, I can guarantee you wherever you're going, you're all saying the same thing, aren't you? You're all saying the same thing. And what is it? Are we there yet? When do we get there? Are we there yet? How much longer? Every day on the way to church, Charlotte says, are we almost there yet? 5 minutes after we leave our house. Okay? So one thing that unites us all is that we all want to get there, right? No matter where there is. Now, so next week, Owen and Charlotte and I and Jesse, we're going to go to the beach, okay? It's exciting, right? You can't wait. Now, here's the thing. We had thought about perhaps going somewhere in Ohio. And the best thing, you know what makes Ohio better than the beach? It's a lot closer. Right? And so we said, all right, we'll go to the beach, but you have to promise that the whole time it's a much longer drive, you're not going to say, are we there yet? Okay? Now, do you guys have things you like to do to pass the time when you're driving? Wait, what's that? Can you go swimming while you're driving? Okay. What do you like to do when you're past time, when you're driving somewhere?
I have this this device that plays movies in the car.
Okay. You watch movies in the car. Yes. Sleep. That's a good one. That's a good one. How about games? You guys play some games? Car bingo is a good one. Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Kindle.
Okay. So you guys are all really kind of missing the point. there's lots of things to see, lots of things to do on the way. For instance, when we go to the beach, okay, quiet now. When we go to the beach, one of the things we do, we always pass Sidling Hill, which is one of my favorite things, because it's a mountain, and what they do, they just cut a road in the mountain. So I always look forward to it because it's like a landmark, and we always look forward to seeing it. Have you guys ever seen, do you ever see like a really weird thing on the side of the road that you always look for?
If we were going into Virginia or South Carolina or someplace like that, I mean North Carolina, like we would play a game, the first one to spot the sign wins.
There you go. See, that's something you want to see. And I also love to play a game where you get cows over here on the side. And if on your side, if there are cows, you get points. But then if there's a graveyard, you lose all your points, okay? It's a fun game to play. It works when you got a brother and sister on the other side. One time, I drove out to see my brother in Colorado, which is really far away, and I saw a car Stonehenge, which was a bunch of cars buried in the ground halfway up. And I saw the second largest ball of twine you've ever seen. The second largest ball of twine in the world. Twine is like a rope, and it's in Missouri on Interstate 70. Here's the thing. Wherever you're going, wherever you got to go to, wherever you're trying to get to, that's great. Right? But there's lots of stuff to see and do, and fun to be had on the way. Alright? Now, as Christians, where are we trying to get to? The beach?
Heaven.
Trying to get to heaven. Very good, very good. That's right. And I hope, I want, my prayer is for all of you to go to heaven, but I don't want you to go there today. And I don't want you to go there tomorrow. And I don't want you to go there, like, next week. I want you to go there in, like, 100 years. Okay? And God does too. Now, If that's the case, if our goal is to get to heaven and God wants us to be in heaven with Him, then why are we on earth? What are we doing here? What's that? Learning. That's right. About heaven and about God and about each other. There are a lot of things that God wants us to learn on the way and to see on the way. A lot of sunrises God wants us to see. A lot of sunsets, a lot of flowers, a lot of mountains. God wants us to have friends and have fun and to fall in love and maybe have kids of our own one day. Yuck, I know. Not yet. I know. But one day, there is a lot that God wants us to learn before we get to heaven. Mostly because then we will appreciate it. You know what? The best thing about long trips is that when you get there, you are so excited, right? You are so ready to get out of that car and just run everywhere and go do stuff, right? The car ride makes the destination even better. And that's the same for us. Our destination is heaven. Our car ride is life. And we have a lot to learn and a lot to see. And there's a lot of fun on the way. Okay? Do you ever say to yourself or to someone, I can't wait until I'm older? I can't wait until I grow up? I can't wait until this. That's a common thing, right? But I don't want you to wish your life away because there is so much that God has for us every day. All right? Let's remember that. Don't wish away your summer. Don't wish away your life. There's a lot for us to learn and do and a lot of fun before we get to our destination. You can go to your classes now. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 13, verses 1 to 4, and also 14 to 31. And that's found in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible on page 131. We continue to follow the activities of the apostles in the early days of the church, and in particular, Paul, who at this point is still called Saul, goes with Barnabas to a church in Antioch where he begins to tell people the bad news, and then he gives them the good news. And we read, "Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, and a member of the court of Herod the ruler, and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. But when they went on from Perga and came to Antioch and Syria, and on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading of the law and the prophets, the officials of the synagogue sent them a message saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, give it." So Paul stood up and with a gesture began to speak. "You Israelites and others who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our ancestors and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt. And with uplifted arms he led them out of it. For about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. After he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. For about 450 years. After that, he gave them judges until the time of the prophet Samuel. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, who reigned for 40 years. When he had removed him, he made David their king. In his testimony about him, he said, 'I have found David, son of Jesse, to be a man after my heart, who will carry out all my wishes.' Of this man's posterity, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had already proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his work, he said, 'Who do you suppose that I am? I am not he, no, but one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of the sandals of his feet.' My brothers, you descendants of Abraham's family, and others who fear God, to us the message of salvation has been sent. Because the residents of Jerusalem and their leaders did not recognize him or understand the words of the prophets that are read every Sabbath, they fulfilled those words by condemning him. Even though they found no cause for a sentence of death, they asked Pilate to have him killed. When they had carried out everything that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, and they are now witnesses to the people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here we are in the book of Acts, right in the middle, right at the heart of it. And now the apostles, as well as Paul, the new apostle, they have taken partners. They have sent out to go and to preach the message of the good news of Jesus Christ to Jewish people throughout the Roman Empire. And in every town they go to the synagogue and they give them the good news. When Paul and his companion, Barnabas, when they get to Antioch, they are greeted by the local synagogue and they are asked to expound on the scriptures. It's a common practice as they go to worship together in the synagogue, and then if there is somebody new there, they will say, "Do you have a word, Dale?" If you can imagine, if you're a visitor at church for the first time and then you're invited to come up and preach, it might keep you from visiting a church. But that was a common practice in ancient Judaism. And so Paul does. After reading the law and the prophets, the officials of the synagogue sent them a message saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, give it." And so Paul takes this opportunity to give them some news. And much of it is very bad news. For he recounts basically the story of Israel's history, telling the people what they already know about how they were slaves in Egypt and God called them out, and yet they wandered in the desert, and then they landed in the promised land, and then they had judges, but they wanted a king, and the first one didn't work out, and they had King David, and he was successful. And God promised that a Messiah from his lineage would come to save the people. Now that is not in and of itself bad news. That's not even news. Everybody in the synagogue knows that history. But then he tells them that the Messiah came. That's good news. That's great news. The Messiah was Jesus Christ. And, by the way, he was killed by the same people that he was to lead. That is what we call really bad news. The worst news that you could give to anyone. Even though they found no cause for a sentence of death, They asked Pilate to have him killed. And when they carried out everything that was written about him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. This is beyond bad news. This is catastrophe news. You can imagine how terrible the listeners must have felt if they didn't believe what he was saying to them. After all, of course, many people did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, which is why they had him killed. They believed that he was being blasphemous, and they wanted to punish him for it. But fortunately, Paul does not end there. He continues by giving them the good news, saying, "We bring you the good news that God has promised, that God, what God promised to our ancestors, he has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' I will give you the holy promises made to David. Therefore, he also said in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One experience corruption.' But he whom God raised up experienced no corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, my brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. By this Jesus, everyone who believes is set free from all those sins from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." So Paul knows how to deliver a message. He knocks them down and he picks them back up. I have this tactic when I have good news and I have bad news, and I will ask. A lot of times in the middle of the day, I'll call Jesse and I say, "Do you want the good news or do you want the bad news?" Right? And she always confuses me. I never know what she's going to pick. But if anybody ever does that to me, if anyone ever says to me, "You want the good news, you want the bad news," I want the bad news first. Take the bad news first. Right? Because you get knocked down and then you're feeling better, as opposed to being set up and then getting knocked down. And that's what Paul does. He gives them the bad news first. "Look, you've wanted a Messiah for like thousands of years, and the Messiah came and we missed him, and yes, also we killed him." Right? That's about as bad as it gets. But then he gives them the good news. "Despite that, maybe even because of that, your sins are forgiven. The work of the Messiah is complete. The promise that God made has been fulfilled. And the grace that he has, he extends to everyone." That's why we call it the good news of Jesus Christ. It isn't all good news. There's a lot of it that's bad, at least for a while, but it ends so well. Right? That's like the plot or the device of every movie. They like knock you down, knock you down, knock you down, and then they give you the good ending. You've got to end with the good news. And sometimes that's how I feel after watching the news or turning on my computer or opening my paper, except that it's like the bad news, the bad news, the bad news, and then there's no good news. Sometimes they have those little stories at the end, and that's really nice. But I would like more of that. And I remember one time having a conversation with one of our church members, Matt Petrowski, that he would like this idea. He had this idea that he listens to National Public Radio a lot, that he would like to have Good News Friday, right? Where, like, all they do is they save up the good news stories for the week and they would just tell them to you on Friday. And I think he's on to something. I think he should trademark that, and I think he should make that happen. But what I want to do for you today is I want to give you some good news. Of course, I want to give you the good news of Jesus Christ every week. But I also want to tell you about some of the things that are happening in our world that are reasons to celebrate. We've done this a few times before. I hope to do it a few more times again. Because how much would a person's life be changed if they heard a little bit more good news in their life? So some people have sent me some stories. I've come across a few, and I have a wonderful one I want to share with you, but I'm gonna save it to the end, right? It's the good news. I'm going to save it to the end. So let me tell you about some of the great things that are happening in our world. Some of the things that I did find as I went through the news. There is a custodian, who has been working at Boston College for about 30 years. And obviously, as a custodian, he does not make a lot of money, and he has five kids, but he sent all five of them to Boston College, which is a prestigious school and an expensive school, because they had a program where their employees can send their kids to school, basically tuition-free. His name is Fred Valatour, and he has worked there for 30 years, and he sent all five of his children there. His youngest child graduated from the school, and he is so happy, as you can imagine. He said that you live for your kids so that they could have a better life than I did. He worked in particular at the Robsham Theater, where each of his kids were able to attend the university, and they would stop by and they would visit him from time to time. And thanks to his employment, they all attended the school for $3,000 a year, which compared to the tuition there and room and board is $66,000 a year. So you can imagine that while he did not make a lot in his salary. He made quite a bit because of that. He started there as a cook. He soon switched over to custodian, and in 98, his oldest daughter, Amy, was accepted to the school. And although the children of the employees get there very cheaply, the admission standards are still the same, so his children still had to hit the same very high admission standards that they all have to go there, and all five were able to do so. He said he remembers hearing the news for the first time. He said, "I was coaching Little League with my sons down at the park, and all of a sudden my wife and my daughter come in with a bunch of Boston College balloons. And there I am with the other coaches and the kids, and she starts crying, and I start crying, and I don't even know why. Then I'm laughing because everyone's looking at me, and I still don't know why. And then they told me what had happened, and I began crying all over again." Each of the kids' acceptance letters are put on the wall. He calls it the BC wall in his house. And it's been a while since his oldest started school at the university, but now they have all gone through. And just because his kids have graduated doesn't mean that he's leaving his job, because he generally enjoys working there and also wants to continue to give back to the school that gave him so much. Now, whenever you're turning on the news, you can't escape the fact that there's a lot of fighting in the Middle East, in particular between Muslims and Jews, and it's so frustrating that religion is often the biggest source for pain and sorrow in the world, but it can also be the greatest source of healing in the world, and that's why we continue to preach that despite the pain that organized religion often causes, we still believe in it very much, because nothing else has quite the power of it as well. So I want to share a story with you about Muslims and Jews who work together in the United Kingdom in Nottingham, and they have come together to share a common goal, and that is to help the hungry and the homeless in their community. They set up a kitchen called Salam Shalom. Okay, and that is Arabic for peace and Hebrew for peace. Salam Shalom, peace, peace kitchen, it's called. And it's the project of the Nottingham Liberal Synagogue and HIMMA, an Islamic social justice group. Members of the two centers are joining forces every Wednesday to serve meals to the city's needy. The kitchen is run out of what they call the Bridge Center, which is a community center that the two groups have created and used together, but also is used by the United Reformed Church in England as well. So now we have the three children of Abraham coming together to help those in need. It's a free community cafe open to anyone in need of a meal, in need of a helping hand, and both adults and children volunteer there. According to one of the project leaders, they feed about 70 people every week since their launch May 20th. And she said that the Jewish community's bonds with HIMA have been growing stronger as well. In addition to helping those in need, they've been helping one another and understanding one another. So far, we are already making friends between the two groups, Karen Worth says, and this project can only get better. Doing practical tasks and eating together are really good ways to connect and to get to know the people. And I myself want to attest to that. When I was at TCU, I worked with the different campus ministry groups, and there were about a dozen Christian groups, a Muslim group, and a Jewish group, and a Unitarian group, and we all had our very significant differences, but whenever we would have a common service project to help others, that's when everybody came together, and that's when everybody was at their best, and that is when I think our witness for faith was the strongest. HIMA's co-founder, Saeed Muhammad, said Salam Shalom is also meant to address a rise in both Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, which they have seen in the recent years. Nottingham, for the most part, they say, has been quite sheltered, but we feel that now is the right moment to give hope and to be a witness to our community and as well as a witness to the world. We see good news around the world, but we also can see it pretty close to home. And also, a lot of times, sports can bring out the best in people. It can also, a lot of times, bring out the worst in people. We know that. But a lot of times, fans can cut across different fan groups to help one another. I want to share you this story that I had heard a few years ago, and I looked up a little bit more because I wanted to see how it ended. Devin Still, is a defensive tackle who plays for the Cincinnati Bengals. Once the Bengals learned that his daughter had stage 4 cancer, they decided that they were going to help him however they could. Every year in training camp, the players who don't make the team, they get cut, and they're free agents, and they hope they can land somewhere else. But every team has a practice squad. And about 10 or so players can get signed to that and are part of the team. They cut him because he couldn't make the roster. He wasn't good enough to make the roster. But when they found out that his daughter had stage 4 cancer, the Cincinnati Bengals signed him to their practice squad so that A, he would still make money and it would help to pay for her bills, but B, he would have health insurance, which also would cover for her bills. Okay? So this happened a couple years ago. She underwent surgery and chemotherapy after the doctors found a cancerous growth in her abdomen, and still spent the next 3 weeks sleeping next to his daughter at the hospital, despite the fact that he had his own recent back surgery. So let's also emphasize the fact that they signed this man to their practice squad knowing that he couldn't play because he had to have back surgery. And so they did it entirely to help him. He shaved his head bald and said that he would grow his hair back when she, Leah, was able to. The Bengals demonstrated their loyalty even further by permitting Devin Still's jersey to be sold in order to raise awareness for pediatric cancer, as well as Cincinnati's Children's Hospital, and to also raise money for her care. In 4 days, they raised $400,000. At the end of September, it was reported that his sales neared $1 million. This is a guy who isn't on the field. This is a guy who isn't making any tackles. And this is not just people in Cincinnati buying his jersey. And in fact, the New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton bought 100 jerseys and gave them to the local Boys and Girls Club in New Orleans, as well as to Cincinnati Children's Hospital. The Patriots also helped out as well. And after months of undergoing treatment for pediatric cancer, Cincinnati Bengals player Devin Still's daughter will get to watch her daddy play football in person for the first time. It happened last year on a Thursday night. He recovered from his back surgery. He was good enough to make it onto the team and to make it onto the field. And he made 3 tackles and, just for her, did the robot dance. I didn't get to see what that is, but she loved it. So she's 4 years old and she is cancer-free. And she has been in remission now and has shown no signs of cancer. In 2016, Still announced that she remained cancer-free and really has beaten cancer, feeling well enough now to leave the Philadelphia hospital where she had been getting treatment and attend his game. It's wonderful news, and I stand here as a Steeler fan, sharing what this wonderful thing that the Cincinnati Bengals did. Whatever it is that divides us, the things that unite us are much, much greater. I also want to share with you a story about wedding dresses. We go from children to weddings. 1,000 wedding dresses were donated to a place called Desiree Industries in Iowa. And store employees said that on Wednesday, a truck came in. A man called ahead to say that he had some things that he would like to donate. Now, Desiree Industries is very much like Goodwill. And they have a clothing boutique, and they raise money for job training. And in doing so, they expected to get the donation like they always do, but they did not expect a tractor trailer to pull up to their door with 1,000 wedding dresses. And the dresses ranged in price from $600 to $2,000. And if any of you have planned a wedding, you know that that's pretty accurate and that the wedding dress might be the biggest single expense of any wedding and can make it difficult for people who want to get married. And so the store received the dresses graciously and resold them for about $100 a piece. Actually, $80 to $130, it says. And that is an unbelievable discount. But in doing so, we're able to raise about $200,000 towards job training. So it was a win-win times 1,000. Now, of all the stories that I came across, this is the one that actually touched me the most. This one takes place all the way across the world in Pakistan, where, of course, they have far less than we do. And yet also have, don't use that as an excuse to not help one another and to share with one another. There's a man there named Muhammad Ayub, and he is a firefighter. So already he is in the business of helping, and he is in the business of sharing good news with people. But not content with saving people's homes or saving people from burning buildings, the Pakistani firefighter also has spent decades saving children from illiteracy and entrenched poverty by teaching thousands to read, and to write, and to do math. For 30 years, he set up a makeshift classroom in a city park. Every day, hundreds of kids wait for Master Ayub to arrive on his bicycle so that they can learn. It started when he first moved to the area and was looking for a hobby. You know, some of us, when we're looking for a hobby, we take up needlepoint, we take up stamp collecting, others teach thousands of children to read. He noticed a little boy washing cars, and he asked him why he was not in school. And the boy explained that his parents could not afford to send him. He needed to help earn money for the family. Ayub found his calling. He began teaching the boy, who brought along a friend the next day. And by the end of that first week, Ayub was teaching 50 kids in the park. Over the years, former students have become teachers at the informal outdoor school. Not being able to pay it back, they want to be able to pay it forward. And they have helped him to teach more and more and more. Thousands of Christian and Muslim kids from the surrounding slums who had bleak futures before have gone on to higher education, vocational training, or have landed good jobs because of what he has been able to teach them. He says that if we want Pakistan to prosper, we must teach one word to a child every day. Your sisters, your brothers, wherever the illiterate are, we must help them. He is nearing retirement from the fire department, and he is planning to make the school his full-time job, his full-time vocation. He wants to build a real school, building stocked with computers and books and desks for the kids. And just like the little boy who rounded up 50 more kids in that first week, the students today are rounding up other kids, and they are rounding up themselves, bricks and stones, piling them beside the park each day they come before class to use for Master Ayub's future schoolroom. Now, I came across, of course, lots and lots of stories about people, but it isn't just people who are receiving God's grace. I also received a story about a dog who is receiving grace as well. And it's a local story. After 4 years of waiting to enjoy the comforts and freedom of a real home, a pit bull mix, whose special needs left her overlooked by visitors in Youngwood, will be adopted, or has been adopted, this past couple weeks. Her name is Gracie, and she was at the Animal Friends Shelter of Westmoreland County. And she was there longer than any other animal because she had been abused, and it made her uncomfortable around people, particularly around little kids. So when people would go to the shelter, a lot of times she would not react well, and they would pass her by and go find another dog. But a Salzburg couple have adopted her, and she has found her forever home. Candy Nelson, who is the founder and president of the shelter, says that everybody here is super thrilled and there have been lots of happy tears. We're all going to miss her, but we all wanted nothing more than for her to have a happy home. Most who want to adopt an animal, she said, who is appreciative, loving, and warm, but Gracie would get passed by because she didn't do well in her kennel, and they would go find a different dog. And many dogs in similar circumstances might not have lasted long enough for the right people to find them. Most dogs in this environment would have broken down over time, but she had faith in us, Nelson said. She came out of her shell. She trusted us. We didn't give up on her because she did not give up on us. And the two are prepared to work with Gracie because they owned another pit bull with similar issues, and they have been able to work with them, with that dog as well. And when that dog died a few weeks ago, they learned about Gracie from a relative, and they wanted to be the ones to bring her home and to help her. If she can forgive and love again, Nelson said, so can we. And I do enjoy this story very much because we learn so much from pets, we learn so much from animals, we learn so much about unconditional love and forgiving, and they give us so much. It's wonderful to hear about someone giving something to them. Now that was supposed to be the end. That was supposed to be the last story I had to share with you. There is so much more going on that's good. I recommend to you the Good News Network, and there's a few other good websites as well that have nothing but good news. I recommend you take a look at those at least once a week, maybe once a day. But I want to share also with you a story that I just heard yesterday. I have a friend who has her own business in Lawrenceville of Pittsburgh. And she's been getting some good press lately and some good news. And a man walked into her business just the other day who is a World War II veteran and said to her, I lived a long life and I've done all the things that I'd like to do. And now what I want to do, I don't have any kids, I have some money, I want to help people. And I said, I heard about how your business was going, and I want to help you because you're a small business owner. And he gave her $1,000. And then he turned around and he walked out of her store. And it's an amazing, amazing thing. Someone who's already given so much of himself now, in the last days of his life, well, not necessarily the last days of his life, but the last years of his life, wants to spend that time leaving a legacy of help and positivity and good news. And so I leave you with this, that as Christians, we are to live in the good news at all times and all places, and there are some days that it's harder than others. And we can't necessarily do the things that we hear. I'm not expecting each of us to go and teach thousands of kids to read or to go and give $1,000 to a small business owner. We simply need to go and to share the good news with all the people that we meet. And of course, the good news begins with the fact that Jesus Christ is risen again and we are all forgiven. But living in Christ is its own good news. For those who have been transformed by their encounter with Jesus Christ must live in a way that is hopeful and joyful and celebratory, even when we are sad or even when we are hurting, because we know that God is in control of the world and all things work towards good to those who love Him. Let us go forth this day and every day. Let us share the good news with everybody that we meet, that they may also have some good news of their own to share. And one by one by one, the world will be made a brighter, more beautiful place. Amen. Thank you for sharing the good news and listening to the good news with me. And now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn is number 495 in the Brown Hymnal. It is Well With My Soul.
The good news of Jesus Christ is not that your life will always be happy, easy, or successful. The good news is that no matter what happens in your life, no matter how difficult it can be at times, it will have a happy ending. You've heard me say before that life in Christ does not promise a smooth flight, it promises a safe landing. And that is all the promise that we should need to live this life in joy, even when sometimes our life doesn't seem so joyful. We know this to be true. When you watch a movie, as I said before, there's no movie that's any good that is happy, 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 happy ending. Nobody wants to see that. There are some movies that are bad, 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 sad ending, and a lot of times we don't want to see those either, but the ones we enjoy the most are the ones that are happy, happy, sad, 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 happy ending, right? When the valleys that we go through in life are what make the peaks that much more enjoyable. The dark days that we experience, the clouds that cover our eyes and our hearts are what make the times of sunshine that much more bright and beautiful. And we should remember that always, but especially when we come to this table. Because when we come to this table, we remember 11 disciples who followed Jesus Christ and whose lives were turned upside down and experienced the darkest of dark times and still experienced the most wonderful of endings. And if it is true for them, it is true for us as well. That through Jesus Christ our Lord, whatever happens in our life, He is with us at all times and places and does not promise to keep us from pain and difficulty. For if God did not save His own Son from such, He will not save us from it either. But those who are baptized in a resurrection, a death like His, are also baptized in a resurrection like His. And so the good news for us is that whatever we go through in this life leads to the most wonderful and glorious eternal life after. Now this morning, let us pray.
Our Heavenly Father, we've received many blessings this week. We've received abundant daily bread to sustain our bodies. We come now to partake of the spiritual bread so that our spirits may be renewed. We take these emblems in memory of Jesus, acknowledging His constant presence as our sustainer and our guide. Amen.
For I hand on to you what was also handed on to me. That on the night when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread. After He blessed it, He broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, He took the cup, and after He poured it out, He blessed it and said, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again."
Now I give you a response to the Word of God. If you wish to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 123 in the Brown Hymnal. When we all get to heaven, let us sing verses 1 and 2, and let us stand as we sing.
Thank you.
rites of the benediction, Jane Sandusky, the chairperson of the elders, has a word that she'd like to share with us.
Thank you, Reverend Chris. I promise it won't be long. I asked Reverend Chris if I could take a moment and just recognize this as it's his last Sunday with us until September, and so I wanted to share a few thoughts. In a poem I found by Joanne Kelly, she states, "There is a time in all our lives when we must let God make all things new. We are now at one of those times as we wish Reverend Chris a temporary goodbye." I also found this quote by Tom Hackett, which I think applies to each and every one of us. "Life is like a flowing stream. Once the flow stops, our life becomes stagnant. When we remove the dams and debris that we have accumulated and encourage it to flow freely, it becomes a source of sustenance and renewal and growth for us and for all with whom we share it. Reverend Chris, as you embark on this sabbatical leave, we thank you for all that you have given to us, our church, and our community these past 13 years. While you are away, it is our hope that you will find many opportunities for renewal, increased wisdom, personal growth, and relaxation. We pray for God's grace and blessings upon you, your family, and our congregation. We also pray for those who will be serving in your place and all who attend here, that they too will find it a time of grace and growth. And finally, to quote an Irish blessing, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand."
Thank you very much, and I just want to express my appreciation to all of you. I know that I'm not sure if you've given had a minister take a sabbatical before, so I appreciate it, and I know that it's going to go very well. It'll be a time of vitalization for you as well as you grow closer to one another and performing all the tasks, and I hope that you will not miss me too much, but you'll miss me at least a little bit. So when we come back, we'll have lots of stories to share with one another. Before we bow our heads for the benediction, just to remind you that we have an ice cream sundae, bar, and cake waiting for us in the fellowship hall. And I invite you to linger a while to share with one another. And now let us bow our heads for the benediction. May the joy of the Lord warm your hearts. May the peace of the Lord calm your spirits. May the word of the Lord direct your ways. And may the Penguins win the Stanley Cup. Amen.